Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pellegrini Financial Investment Planning Council third quarter conference call. A good summer despite the weather. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Perry Pellegrini. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. And good morning, everybody. Welcome to our call. The title, A Good Summer Despite the Weather, I think for those of you that live in Alberta, you know what I'm talking about. The weather was a little questionable through the summer. But when we say a good summer, we're talking about generally the investment marketplace. Just a distinction when we look at this, there's a saying in the investment markets that says, sell in May and go away. And really, that is more not really for investors as such. It's generally a phrase that's used by some of the traders of the world, and that's because generally the thought is that during the summer is kind of when we would have maybe a little dip or a downtime. But that wasn't the case this year. We had some volatility through the start of the year, as you recall from my previous conference call. But really, by the time we got to the middle of June, things were moving pretty good, and the summer was generally up. Mostly in July, we had sort of the bigger rise through the month of July, and August and September and kind of into October sort of held their own. What was going on through the summer? Well, as I think any of you that have been following some of this, oil was increasing. The U.S. market and economy was stable. Banking in Europe is still a bit of an issue and a bit of a concern. And I guess overriding all of it, there was up until summer, there was this fear of rapidly rising interest rates in the U.S. And of course, I think that's why we had a lot of volatility we had earlier in the year. But through the summer, what we saw was that fear subsided and people were, the marketplace basically was starting to feel that the interest rates were not going to rise quickly, although they may rise slowly over time, but they weren't going to go up fast. So that helped the overall markets. Generally, it was global markets that performed well, and in particular, what we call emerging markets. And emerging markets are things like China, India, Russia, Brazil, you know, all of those sort of developing markets are what we would group into the category of emerging markets. So they're the ones, there wasn't any markets, I think, that did poorly, but those are the ones that really kind of stood out and shone through the summer. It looks like overall that this continued rise is due because from a global standpoint, we still have this overall stimulus concept in play. And what we mean by that is really interest rates. If we look around the world, interest rates are still low. So that is central banks are trying to provide liquidity into the marketplace. So that's a stimulative type of thing from an investment standpoint. Also, what we find is that when we've got these low interest rates from large corporations, if you recall from a number of years ago, we always talked about how corporations had a lot of cash on their balance sheets and not a lot of debt. Well, because of the low interest rates, what's been happening is some of these large corporations are now starting to issue bonds at these low interest rates and take on a little bit more debt, and they're using the money to buy back their shares. So that's that just kind of bolsters the demand for shares, and of course, as long as demand is strong and supply stays constant, that's going to be supportive in terms of market prices. When we look at oil, has obviously we've had a little bit of a drop off here in the last month, but generally through the summer, oil was increasing. That's mostly because inventories are starting to drop. Not significantly yet, but they are starting to drop a little bit. And what that indicates is that the demand for oil is at least higher than the current supply. So if the current supply can't meet the demand, well, then that means they're going to draw out of inventory. And the longer-term picture means that those inventories will be drawn down and should be supportive of prices. That, of course, is why the Canadian dollar kind of fared well through the summer. Again, if we, any of you that follow it, you notice that the Canadian dollar has dropped off a little bit here through the last month, and that is pretty much following along with what's been going on with oil. There was some news out of OPEC that they have agreed to talk about limiting some of their supply. So I'm a little skeptical about what's happening with OPEC. They have agreed that they're going to have a meeting in November to talk about whether they can come to some kind of agreement on restricting supply. So they haven't got any agreement, but they have agreed that they're going to talk about it. Commodities overall were generally up through the summer, which again explains why the emerging markets did fairly well, because the emerging markets, for the most part, are commodity-based or more so than, say, the U.S. Market. So that's kind of what was going on through the summer. What about our expectations? Whenever I talk about expectations, I always want to put a caveat out there. Remember, we're not making predictions. We're just sort of looking at the marketplace and the state of affairs as we see them now, and trying to look out and saying, well, what do we expect is going to happen over the next? Actually, it's over the next month and year or two. We do expect that volatility will continue to be in play. We haven't had significant volatility, like big, you know, we haven't had any major drop or any big drop in markets. It's arguably we're due for something like that. And I certainly, you know, if we do start to see something like that where markets drop by 5 or 10 or 15%, you know, it's not something to get too antsy about. It markets do that from time to time. So we are, we're overdue for something like that, but we can probably be overdue for much longer than one would expect. So we do expect volatility to stay there. We do expect somewhere along the line that there's going to be some reason in the global environment that would cause markets to take a bigger dip. From a recession or an economic standpoint, it's been a long time since we've had a recession in North America. And that's mostly because we're coming out of that big recession in 2008. That was a really deep recession, and the recovery has been muted. It's been a slow recovery out of that deep recession. So one could argue that we don't really need to have a recession for some period of time, because we really haven't got that heated up economic environment, which is usually a precursor to a recession. However, there is no doubt that it has been a good number of years since the economy has had any type of recession. We do expect that the U.S. is going to slowly ratchet up interest rates. They're taking their time at it, but they do want to increase the interest rates. And I think the reason for that is because they do recognize that at some point we are going to be facing some type of economic recession, and they want to be prepared for it. One of the biggest tools that they have to deal with a recession is lowering interest rates. Well, you can't really lower interest rates very far if you are already at the bottom. So we expect that they will continue on a steady path of increasing interest rates, just to try and rearm themselves, so that if a recession does come into play, that they've got some ammunition to deal with it. So let's remember that rates around the world are still very low. We have a good portion of the world that has negative interest rates. And I know I've talked with lots of you about what negative interest rates are. We hear it in the news, and I think a lot of people have a tough time comprehending the concept of a negative interest rate. In essence, what is happening with some of the central banks in Europe and in Japan is they are issuing bonds, so they're borrowing money, and the concept is that you give them more money today than they agree to give you back in the future. So that means that you are actually paying them to hold on to your investment capital or your money. The long-term impact of this is, quite frankly, a little bit unknown. This hasn't happened in the past, so we wonder, well, what kind of impact is that going to have? And probably one of the biggest things that we can see that that's going to impact on is pensions, because if you look at pension funds, large, government pensions, large corporate pensions, things like that, they are based on really nothing different than what your personal portfolio would be. And that is they've got a combination of stocks and bonds and things like that that produce the return that enables them to pay out the pensions. And a large portion of what they invest in is bonds and government bonds. So the question becomes, if those bonds are earning negative rates of return, what kind of long-term impact does that have on the pension funds? And that remains to be seen. So we'll have to keep an eye on what's happening there. From a closing standpoint, I do want to point out, we live in a very complex financial world. There are many moving parts, and I know that we would all like to be able to point to one or two things and say, well, because of this, here's what's going to happen in the future. But the reality is every minute that goes by, there's something new happening in the world, and at any given time, something major can happen that has an impact on some part of the financial world. So it's very, very difficult to predict or determine what's going to happen from day to day or over the course of the next week or over the course of the next month. We try to look at what's happening in a broad sense and the information that we have at this point in time and develop our expectations of what's going to happen. But those are, of course, subject to change based on how the world is changing around us. The reality for all of us as investors or any market participant or advisor, we all live in the same world. So there's no magic solution out there. We deal with the changes that occur as they happen. And I do want to stress, I know I've stressed this before in the past, but the key, because we all do live in the same financial world, the key is for us to make sure that we've got comprehensive personal or family financial planning to ensure that you're able to maximize the benefits from whatever the investment market or the world delivers us. So we just want to be able to know that we're evaluating what's going on in your world and adapting to the financial world as it presents itself to us. So with that, I want to thank everybody for participating in the call this morning. Again, if you have any questions or thoughts on what's happening with your specific situation or further commentary on what's going on in the marketplace, by all means, give us a shout. Ryan, myself, or Parker are available to chat with you. So once again, thank you very much. I look forward to talking to you again. Have a good day. Bye-bye.